So, for the past 6 weeks, we've been working through a sermon series called Following the Way of Jesus. And we're bringing this series to a close, but we're not bringing this theme of following the way of Jesus to a close. In fact, we're just kind of launching into this whole next year. The uniting theme behind all of our sermon series will be this statement, following the way of Jesus. And so, next week, we get to start a new sermon series called The Surprising Power of Friendship, which, of course, I'm very excited about. Friendship. The Surprising Power of Friendship. That starts next week. And it's part of this whole uniting theme of following, learning to follow the way of Jesus. But today, we're going to finish what we started last week in the Gospel of John. And last week, we saw that when Jesus, the Word of God, who in the beginning was with God, but was also God himself, when the Word became flesh, when Jesus Christ came into the world, sent by the Father in heaven to seek and to save the lost, when Jesus came, John said, he was full of grace and truth. And last week I said that grace is God's shocking, unfair, merciful, boundlessly rich, love-producing, life-giving goodness to imperfect people. If you missed that, you can always listen back to the podcast if you'd like. But today we get to unpack the second half of that statement, which, what does it mean that Jesus was both full of grace and full of truth? How do those things come together? What does it look like to follow the way of Jesus if Jesus is the truth? The ultimate and complete revelation of God. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, please grab them, open them back to John chapter 1. We're going to read through the same passage we looked at last week, and we're going to continue from grace to truth. John chapter 1. If you don't know where John is, you can look it up in the table of contents, but go to John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump back into this text for round two. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this beautiful weekend. Thank you for your creation. Thank you that we can enjoy our deep and rich loving relationships with one another, with friends and family. Thank you that we can gather together as your people, as your church, and we can worship you, and we can pray, and we can learn about the truth from your word. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us today, again, in a way that would reveal what is true, and that would also transform us by the power of your truth, in your spirit, and by the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There it is. Verse 15. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is God's word. So last week, I did the exposition for this passage, and I told you I wouldn't do it again, and I'll keep that promise, as much as I don't like skipping that in a sermon. But this week, we're going to skip forward to what does it mean that Jesus was full of truth. And in fact, later in John's gospel, Jesus said, "I am the truth." So this week, we're going to look at what does it mean that Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. Jesus was ultimately God's gift of grace. We saw that last week. Jesus Christ, the God-man, was the ultimate and the complete revelation of what is true. He was God's ultimate goodness to imperfect people. But in Jesus, we also have the full revelation of what is true, of truth. Jesus, he knew this. he wasn't confused about this. As Jesus did his ministry on this earth, he both taught and he healed. He did miraculous signs and called people to follow. But ultimately, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He wasn't confused about his purpose on this earth, and Jesus wasn't questioning whether or not what he was saying was true. He said, this is the way that is true. And that's why after his death and resurrection and his commission of his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, were known as followers of the way. And part of the way was this way of truth. What does that mean? Well, we're going to look at three aspects of Jesus being the truth and how this can apply to our lives. Deal? Last week I had seven. It was too many. It was too many. Too many points. Holly knew it. She was trying to tell me, and I didn't listen to her. So we're going to keep it to three today. All right? Three aspects of how Jesus is the truth, how that is important, and what that means for us today. Okay. Truth is, number one, truth is a window to see reality. Number two, truth is a mirror to better see yourself. And number three, truth is a lens to better see others. Let's go through those three and how we get this from God's word. Number one, truth is a window to see reality. What do you do with a window besides clean it once a year, like we do? Maybe you're more ambitious than that. Maybe yours is like a monthly thing. Ours is annually, if we remember some of the windows. Sorry about that. But truth is a window to see reality. You look through a window, right? The reason you clean it is so you can see through it. You look through a window, and what do you see? Well, if you're looking through truth to see reality, what you're seeing is what's real about this world. You're seeing what is real, not a construction, not a myth, not a lie. You're seeing the truth about reality. Truth is a window to see what's real. Why is that important? Well, because we live in a real world with a real story, a real history, and a real reality today, and a real future. And if as followers of Jesus, but as human beings in general, if we do not live in light of what's real, our lives will break down. Our relationships will have friction. We won't understand where we are, where we've come from, or where we are going in the future. You see how that's a problem? If you're trying to drive your car to a destination but you don't know the way, what are the chances that you'll arrive at your destination? Low. I mean, unless you have infinite time and you could try all possibilities, but that's not how human beings function. So truth is a window to see reality. What do we see when we see reality? We see the story of this world, which ultimately is God's story. Through the lens of God's word, we see that there was a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our story, the story of our reality, starts in the beginning with creation. It starts long before you and I were ever born. Long before we were born, God spoke his word, his active intent, his active power brought forth everything from nothing. And we see evidence of that in the created world today. We see that there was evidence of a beginning before which we don't know. But through the lens of God's word, we see a window into that reality of creation. And through God's word, we see God's intent for his creation, that this world was a good and a perfect world, that this world was made to reflect God's beauty and his character, his creativity and his power. And God, and it just is full of flourishing life. That's God's heart. And then God made human beings, and we as human beings are unique in God's creation. We're the only creatures made in creation who reflect the image or bear the image of God in the world. That is too rich a concept to unpack here in 45 seconds, but it means in some ways that we are like God. We reflect God's character into the world. It also means that we were created to be in relationship with God. If you have kids, your kids are like made in your image. Many people can see that too, by the way. I was never good at looking at a baby and telling like if it looked more like mom or dad. Some of you are way better at that than I am. But as kids grow up, you start to see different characteristics and you're like, wow, he really looks like you or she really looks like you. That's your kids in some ways, to some degree, they're not a perfect copy, but they reflect the image. They're like you as a parent. And so human beings in the same way were made to bear God's image and be like God. Not gods and goddesses, but to be like him and to be a part of his family in relationship with him. But that's not how the world is today. So what happened? Well, again, through the window of truth of God's word, we see that something happened in this creation that broke and distorted all things. And the truth is that is called sin. Sin has entered into God's good and perfect world, and it broke and distorted everything. And with sin came the power of death. And now everything in God's good and perfect world doesn't quite work how it was created to work. Relationships sometimes last, but sometimes they fall apart. Work sometimes is fruitful, but sometimes there are thorns and thistles, and it doesn't always produce what we want. There is good in the world, but there is terrible evil and oppression and abuse as well. The truth about the fall to sin is so important for us to see in order for us to understand the reality that we live in today. But it doesn't stop there. Again, God's word goes on to describe, to reveal, to give us a revelation of what is true about the world. And in this revelation, we see, centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ, a rescue mission, God entering into his creation to redeem his people from the power of sin and death, to provide a way for forgiveness and peace and eternal life and his kingdom for us to inherit. That we find in the New Testament, we find that working out, that redemption plan outworking in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. God has done it. He has accomplished what is necessary in order to break the power of sin and death forever. That's Jesus. Without that truth, how could we deal with the brokenness of our world? What hope would we have? And then finally, there's a promise that is yet to be fulfilled for our future, this promise of new creation. And we see it as followers of Jesus. We see a little seed of it here and there in our hearts and in our lives. It's a seed of new creation. It's the birth of what God is bringing forth. Ultimately, in our resurrection from the dead, in our glory, when Jesus returns and the world is set back to rights, and heaven and earth will meet once again, and God's world will be again good and perfect. All the more glorious because it reflects his redemption. Without that promise for our future of new creation, where would we be going? What hope would there be for our future? So truth is a window to see reality. Sometimes people call this a worldview. It's a way of looking at the world and understanding the world in a way that makes sense of the world. And the gospel story, God's story, is a way to understand the world that God has shown us to be real. In God's word, Jesus reveals the reality about God. Here in our passage for the day, we get a little glimpse of that in verse 17 and 18. If you look back at your text, Verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Jesus said that when you see me, you've seen the Father. It's through the coming of the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ walking around this earth, teaching and performing miraculous signs, dying and rising again. This is seeing God in the flesh. And in this revelation of Jesus Christ, we can get to know God. John says he has made the Father known to us. That's in our passage. It's shot throughout the New Testament as well. In Colossians 1:15, just listen to these words. It says, this is the Apostle Paul. He writes, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Let's skip over to Hebrews chapter 1. This is the author of Hebrews. He writes, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." When you look at Jesus, you see God. When you understand that Jesus came to rescue the lost, it was a rescue mission. It wasn't a mission to condemn. It wasn't a mission to destroy. It was a mission to save. Sacrificially, you see God's heart. When you see the work that God does by the power of his Spirit in his people to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, when you start to see that new creation happening in your life, you're starting to see God's heart for his people, for you. You start to see reality. So the truth revealed in Jesus is a window to see reality. Now, secondly, the truth is a mirror to better see yourself. Truth is a mirror to better see yourself. If we as human beings were created to bear God's image, to be like God, then the only way to truly know ourselves better is to get to know who God is. That gives us a little picture, a better, a clearer picture of who we are supposed to be. It holds up a mirror. Truth is a mirror to better see ourselves. Now, what happens when you see yourself in a mirror? You see everything. The good things, your good side, your bad side, whatever it might be, you see everything in a mirror. Unless you're delusional, or unless you refuse to look at certain parts of you. But truth is a mirror to better see yourself. When you examine the truth about yourself, I warn you, it's not painless. Because you see your own strengths, and that's good, but you also see your weaknesses. You see the parts of your life where you kind of have not a lot of difficulty in following Jesus and submitting that area of your life to the Lord. But you also see your struggles and your particular sins. And that's painful. But as you grow in your ability to follow Jesus, as you continue to follow the way of Jesus, not only do you see your sin, but you start to see your potential for growth. And this is what we need. Truth is a mirror to better see yourself. In James chapter 1, there's a really interesting passage that talks about listening and doing God's word. James, who is the stepbrother of Jesus, technically, James said this, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." We need the truth about ourselves. It doesn't help us or anyone else in our lives if we ignore the reality, the truth about ourselves. The truth is that all of us have high points and low points. And if we are unaware, if we do not see if we are not living in light of the truth about ourselves, we're going to hurt people around us. We're going to limit our capacity to grow. And ultimately, we're going to not enjoy the fullness of the person that God created us to be here and now. We need the truth, and we need the ugly side of that truth. We need in the mirror to see the reality of who we are, and that includes our sin and our struggles. But here's the secret. Jesus said that if you lose your life, that's when you find it. It's when you give up the lie that you're a perfect person, or the lie that you can be a perfect person if you just work harder, try harder. If you give that up, you'll actually find your life. If you can see your sin, you can repent. If you see how you've hurt other people, you can seek reconciliation. When you find reconciliation, you can find new life. You can find peace and joy. But if you sweep those things under the rug, none of that will happen. The truth is that every single one of us needs Jesus. We all need a Savior. As I said last week, we all need grace. We're in desperate need of grace. Now, this is a humbling truth, but it's a truth that is empowering if you embrace it, because you can grow. The truth revealed in Jesus is a mirror to better see yourself. Now, third, truth is a lens to better see others. This world is not all about you, if you didn't know that already. There are other people here, several other people on this planet. And so God gave us this incredible task. It's a high calling. In fact, it's His command that we're not only to love Him, but we're to love all other people, everybody, everyone, all the time. Now, that's incredibly challenging. But when we have the truth, we can see truth as a lens to look through to see others. Now, why do people get glasses or wear contacts? It's because our eyes are not perfect. This is a broken world. We need Jesus. But our eyes start to break down, and they stop to see reality as clearly as was intended. So we get glasses or contacts, and it corrects our vision. In so many of our relationships, we need a corrected view. We need an adjustment to see the people that we interact with day after day. Because we can get caught up in our jobs, or we can get caught up in our homes. We can get caught up in our neighborhoods and the communities, and we can start to write people off. We can start to be apathetic towards some people. We can be dismissive of people because of a variety of reasons. They have the wrong politics, or they don't have enough money, or they're not going to be helpful to me directly, or whatever. We're not seeing these people through the lens of truth. We need to see the truth about every single person. Every person has value in this world. Rich or poor, male, female, it doesn't matter what class or what their ethnic background is, every single person in this world is an image bearer of God and therefore has intrinsic value and dignity. But also, if we're seeing people clearly, sometimes we don't see people clearly when we start to date them and we just see everything good about them and we ignore everything bad. Some of you people who have been married for a while in the room, that's gone. You see all of the flaws of your spouse all the time. You're painfully aware of those things. You need different lenses to look through, maybe. But truth is a lens to better see others. We do need to see people's value. We also need to recognize, not in a way that brings forth a ton of anger, but with reality, people's sin. That people need help. They need a Savior. They need grace. They need to be loved, even when they're sometimes unlovable. But just as we see people's sin, we also have to see the truth that every single person has the potential to grow. No one is stuck. No one is hopeless. We saw last week, grace means there's hope for everyone. So we have to learn the truth in order to see that in other people's lives. You know, in the famous verse in John's Gospel that we all probably have heard repeatedly in our lives, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." We know the verse, but we have a hard time applying that to the people in our life who, by the way, are part of the world that God loves. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. When we see the truth of God's love for every single person, we're starting to use truth as a lens to see other people. Everyone, every person I meet, every person I work with, every person I talk to, every person that I interact with on some level every day. So the truth revealed in Jesus is a lens to better see other people. Okay, so those three things. Truth is a window to see reality. Truth is a mirror to better see yourself, everything about you. Truth is also a lens that we can look through and see more clearly other people. Well, how do we apply that today? What do we do with that information about truth? I think in three ways. Number one, we need to pursue the truth. We need to pursue the truth. We as followers of Jesus, should be passionate people about what's true. What's true? That should be a regular question in our minds and in our conversation and lives. Is that true? Is this true? Could that be true? Is this true? Pursue the truth. Because it's only through the truth that we can deal with reality. It's only through the truth that we can rightly apply the good news of the gospel. It's only by knowing and seeing and living in the truth that we can live truly in the reality that God has created and intends for us as creation. So pursue the truth. How do we do that? Well, God's word is true. One of the reasons why we need to regularly be reading God's word, whether it's a Bible app or an actual analog paper Bible or however you get God's word, get it. Get the truth. Pursue the truth. In the book of Proverbs, it says, get wisdom. God is almost pleading with us. Get this. This is the tool that will help every aspect of your life. Pursue the truth. That also means resisting what is false and identifying and dismissing the lie. If you walk around your life, your whole life, and when you were growing up, your parents said, or at least acted as if you didn't matter, and you go about your life thinking, I don't matter. I don't have any value. I have nothing to contribute. People can kind of walk on me because I don't matter. Well, in light of what's true, that's a lie. You do matter. You do have value. I mean, infinite value. If the Son of God was willing to die in your place, that means that you have value. That's the truth. So pursue truth. It'll change your life. Secondly, face the truth. Now, this requires courage. Some of us resist looking in the mirror. We hate that. Because it shows us who we are. And we don't all like everything that we are. So have the courage to face the truth about yourself. It takes courage. Have the courage to face the truth. As I said, if you ignore what's true, you won't grow. If you believe the lie, you'll never be free. Maybe in the new creation, maybe in the when the kingdom of God comes fully into this world, when Jesus returns, maybe then you'll be free, but you can start to be free now. If you face the truth, The author Jim Collins, he wrote a great book. It's kind of a business leadership book. It's called Good to Great. And in it, he says that companies and organizations who are able to go from good to great have a couple of shared qualities or tendencies or practices. And he says that one of the things that you need in order to go from good to great is the ability to confront the brutal facts. That phrase has stuck with me. And I think that, I mean, that's true for business, it's true for organizations, it's true for people. We need to confront the brutal facts about our lives, because that's seeing what is true. Now, fortunately, the gospel doesn't leave us in that ugly mirror situation, because God's grace is so abundant. And we've received grace upon grace, grace in place of grace, as we looked at last week. But we, without the truth, we'll never appreciate grace. We'll never see our need for grace and forgiveness and for reconciliation with God and with other people. We must face the truth, confront the brutal facts, have courage to do it, stand in front of the mirror and see who you really are, and then see who God has created you to be. In John 17, 17, Jesus said at the end of his earthly life, he was praying to his Father in heaven the night before his crucifixion, and he said, "Sanctify them," meaning his disciples, meaning us. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus taught that the word of God, Holy Scriptures, this is what's true. And it's by this sword that the ugly parts of our lives can be cut off. The rough edges can be smoothed down. It's by this tool that God will sanctify us. That means to help us to grow in our holiness and our godliness, to help us to become more like Christ. So pursue the truth, face the truth, and finally speak the truth. God has given us some means in order to help one another grow. He's given us a means by which we can grow. We can grow out of the things that bind us. We can grow past where we are emotionally, spiritually. We can experience more of our potential. And that is to be sanctified by the truth of God's word and through the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of us. But in the same way, we then can participate in the growth of other people. We can participate in the sanctification of other people. And that's really the mission of the church. The mission of not just our church, but of the Christian church in the world, is to share the good news of Jesus and allow people the opportunity to not only see but experience that good news, so that they might believe it and they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit and they might be sanctified as well. They might grow in their understanding of what's true. They might grow in the unity and love that they express with other Christians. They might grow in their ability to follow the way of Jesus. The means of that is by speaking the truth. Now note here, it's not using the truth as a weapon to wound or to cut down. God's word is a living and active word. It's a sword used, but it's not a sword to destroy. It's a sword to build in love. Speaking the truth is always, always in light of God's great commandment to love. So if you have a relationship and you need to speak the truth in someone's life, you need to speak the truth to hold up a mirror to them in order for them to know what is true about themselves. That speaking the truth should always be done in love. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a whole passage on that. And as we, as the people of God, as we, the church, Appleton Gospel Church, as we practice this, speaking the truth in love to one another, in each other's lives, in the context of our relationships with one another, as we speak the truth in love into each other's lives, we together will grow up, we'll get bigger and stronger as a body. We'll get healthier as a body. As sin is uncovered, but it's met with forgiveness and grace. As rough edges come up in our relationships, but it's met with love, acceptance, help. As the ungodly comes out, the godliness can come in. And so we together as the people of God can grow up and be built up, not just in truth, but in love as well. That's the body of Christ. That's a healthy church. It's not just to pursue truth as if we could pursue more and more knowledge and that would be it. We must have the courage to face the truth in our own life and the love to be able to speak the truth into others as well. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have revealed to us the truth of who you are, of what you have done, of who we are created to be and what we are supposed to do in this world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are the Word of God made flesh. You are the self-revelation of God become a man. And you have revealed your Father to us. Thank you. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth, and we rely on you to be the divine power in our hearts and our minds to open our eyes to what is true. Holy Spirit, would you give us more light? Would you give us more truth? Would you transform us by your truth? And God, may our lives be lived in light of your truth. We pray this for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Appleton Gospel Church podcast. Our mission is sharing good news, and we do that every week. To listen to more episodes, go to appletongospel.com.